Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello, friends and neighbors, and welcome back to the Bill Press Pod. Politically, this is supposed to be an off year. No election on the ballot, so time to get some legislative work done. But there are, in fact, a couple of exceptions. An all-important governor's race in Virginia, another one in New Jersey. But first, and most important of all, another exception, a governor's recall election in California, where on September 14, voters will decide whether to dump Governor Gavin Newsom and replace him with one of 45 candidates on the ballot as his potential successor. For a while, it was a real nail-biter. Republicans believed this was their best chance to win a statewide office in California, which they haven't been able to do so since 2003, and then only by another recall. But Democrats are still nervous that absent a big Democratic turnout, Newsom could suffer the same fate that Democratic Governor Gray Davis did in 2003. So for the next week, it is all eyes and ears, including ours, on California. Carla Marinucci, senior political reporter for Politico, has been on top of the recall since the drive to collect enough signatures began over a year ago. She joins us today on the podcast with the latest. 1 week out. Hello, Carla. Good to reconnect with you, and welcome to the Bill Press Pod.
Bill, good to be with you.
Thank you. So, Carla, here we are a week out from the big California recall election where voters will vote if they haven't already on September 14. It's gotten even a lot of nationwide attention. Tell us, and you've been following this from day one, where does it stand today, 1 week out? What's your take?
You know, I think for Governor Gavin Newsom, there has been months of nail-biting and nerve-wracking drama over his fate in this recall election. But I think, Bill, it's going to come down to one thing. COVID got him into this mess, and COVID is probably going to get him out of it in the sense of the months back, the anger by Republicans, by grassroots conservative activists, over the business shutdowns, over the school shutdowns. That is what fueled this recall drive. There had been six recall drives on Gavin Newsom before this, or five. This was the sixth. But this one coincided with his famous French Laundry visit, in which he went to one of the most expensive restaurants in the country, maskless, with a dinner with a bunch of lobbyists. He was caught on tape doing it just as these shutdowns occurred and just as these recall proponents were given an extension of 120 days to collect signatures because of the COVID shutdown. So COVID helped this happen in the first place. That's what fired up this movement. But now the latest polls show the Californians overwhelmingly, with this fourth resurgence, with the Delta variant, they are behind Gavin Newsom and his handling of COVID, especially when you compare what's happening in California to what's happening in Texas and Florida and some of the southern states. The latest Public Policy Institute of California poll shows two-thirds of Californians back requiring proof of vaccinations. Three-quarters of them believe he has done a good job on vaccines. And that is going into the final week, where Newsom has been able to point out that California has reached this momentous sort of landmark. 80% of the state has taken one shot in the vaccine, and California has done more than 18 million vaccines, more than any other state. So that has been the biggest issue going into the final weeks. All the other things have kind of gone to the side with regard to business shutdowns and homelessness. There have been other issues in this recall that have hurt Newsom, the uptick in crime, homelessness. But bottom line is it's about COVID. And I have to say, Bill, that in the final weeks, Newsom has gotten a gift from the Republicans. And that is the entry of Larry Elder, the shock jock, political shock jock, who's 30 years on the radio of throwing landmines, verbal landmines. Boy, the Democrats are digging up those landmines and just throwing them back at him. His statements, the scrutiny on his personal life, that has fired up Democrats who were complacent, maybe not paying attention. They are paying attention now because some of Larry Elder's remarks have just outraged them. So right now, it looks to be working in Newsom's favor. It looks to be his to lose. And I think the only question, Bill, may be how big of a victory is this going to be? Is this going to be a landslide?
What do the polls show, the latest polls show in California?
The latest polls show 58-39. That's a 19-point difference between the people who say they're going to vote for the recall and those who aren't. Look, this is a big partisan divide. Republicans, obviously, are very much in favor of the recall. Democrats against. But the fact is that that kind of a gap is going to be very hard for the Republicans to overcome. And it comes, Bill, as you know, it comes down to math. There are 2-1 Democrats over Republicans in voter registration here in California. Trump lost his state by 30 points. To make up that kind of a gap is just going to be a big lift for the Republicans. And, you know, there was a lot of talk ahead of time, Bill, about the energy. The Republicans had energy. They were energized. As you know, being the former head of the party here, the Republicans have always been sort of more energized and more reliable voters in California. But the fact is, to make up this gap, just not going to happen. It's just too wide. And they can thank Trump for the gap. You know, in the 2003 recall, Republicans only had a 9-point deficit to make up. And they, of course, got Arnold Schwarzenegger. But this time, since with Donald Trump, and that gap has grown to 22 points, and that is a very hard divide to get over.
Wasn't it a lot closer a month or so ago? I mean, this 19 points. I remember when people were saying, "Oh my God, it's like 2 or 3 points."
Yes, it was a dead heat a couple of weeks back, and Democrats hit the panic button. They were freaking out, to be quite honest, and because a lot of them were not aware of the recall. I mean, it's a recall happening, you know, in September. This is not a traditional time. People are putting their kids back into school or getting back from vacations. And, you know, as much as Gavin Newsom has $70 million in the campaign war chest, but the fact is the Democrats decided to call this election early and people were thinking this is a mistake. Nobody knows there's a recall. You know, the Republicans are all energized. So they really hit it hard. And Newsom began campaigning up and down the state. But it was the entry of Larry Elder, the late entry. He got into the race late, and he, more than anything else, has helped Gavin Newsom inform Democrats about the stakes in this election. I mean, getting in, of course, he's been in broadcasting for 30 years. He has a rabid fan base in California. The Republicans were popping the champagne in a lot of ways when he got in because he immediately had the name recognition and began racking up a lot of big endorsements here. But the problem is his statements, about women. His own personal history. A former fiance came forward and said he pulled a gun on her. Just in the last couple of days, he went on the Mark Levin show and insulted Senator Feinstein, basically suggesting she's on her last legs, and that he promised that he would replace her with a Republican and create an earthquake in the U.S. Senate. And that remark went viral because, I mean, Democrats were like, oh, no, you don't, you know. he's done more than anything else, I think, to make Democrats aware of the recall and to get them to sign those ballots. That's what Gavin Newsom's challenge was.
Right. So you've told us what's behind it, COVID. I also want to ask you, like, who's behind it? I'm going to play, this is the most recent ad, I believe, from the Newsom campaign. Urging people to vote no. And the very last line I find very telling. Let's listen to it and talk about it.
What's at stake in the September 14th recall? It's a matter of life and death. With Delta surging, Gavin Newsom is protecting California, requiring vaccination for health workers and school employees. The top Republican candidate? He peddled deadly conspiracy theories and would eliminate vaccine mandates on day one, threatening school closures and our recovery. Stop the spread. Return your ballot or vote in person by September 14th. Protect California by voting no on the Republican recall.
No on the Republican recall. So Newsom has been able to paint this, right, as Democrat versus Republican, as you pointed out earlier, given the voter registration edge in California and the recent history. That's why it was so important that no top Democrat put his name on the ballot or her name on the ballot.
Yeah, I mean, the Newsom team was very, very, hard on this one from the very beginning. They did not want to see a replay of the 2003 recall in which the lieutenant governor put his name, Cruz Bustamante, put his name on the ballot. And Democrats still say that's one of the reasons that Gray Davis ended up going down, that it essentially gave people an alternative or a reason to vote yes on that first question. Remember that Californians will look at two questions on this ballot. The first one being, should Governor Gavin Newsom be recalled? The second one being, who should replace him? If they get 50 plus 1% on that first question, Newsom is out. And it's just a question of who gets the most votes on that second question. And, you know, conceivably, we could have a case where Newsom gets 49.9% on the first question. And, you know, Larry Elder with 18% is elected governor. That's what's sort of the outrage. So Democrats didn't want to take any chances and offer any kind of alternative or any reason for people to vote yes on that first question. So they basically strong armed any Democrat that was thinking of running. There are people who thought, would Antonio Villaraigosa run? Maybe Lieutenant Governor Eleni Koulounakis? No, they all came out and said, nope, we're not going there. We're behind Gavin Newsom. That was a sort of a strategic victory for Newsom. And, right now, the other strategy that the Newsom team is using is telling people to vote no on that first question, and do not answer the second question at all. Do not indicate an alternative. Why? Because say like a Kevin Falconer, who's sort of a moderate Republican, former mayor of San Diego, he's one of the 45 candidates on the second ballot, and has long been considered sort of a good possibility for the Republicans to get statewide office back. They don't want him to look strong or to amass right. a lot of votes, because remember, Newsom is up for a re-election next, in 2022, and Falconer could come back. So the fact is, they're telling Democrats right now, just vote no on that first question. One and done is the way Newsom is putting it. Don't even bother to indicate who you want as a replacement.
So a full disclosure here, I am still a California voter, and I have voted in the recall. I voted no on the first question, and I followed Gavin Newsom's advice and did not vote on the second. I want to be sure you mentioned it, but I want to come back and make sure that everybody listening understands, as you pointed out, Carla, there are just two questions on this ballot. It's a long ballot. I've got the sample right here in front of me. And the very first question is, should Gavin Newsom be recalled, yes or no, right? Then, so you vote on that. Then, no matter how you vote on number one, you get to vote, if you want to, on number two and choose. I thought it was 46, by the way. You said 45.
One of them dropped out. Doug Ossie dropped out after a heart attack.
That's right. Thank you. Yeah. So now 45. And then you choose which of the 45 you think should replace Gavin Newsom, if you choose to do so. Well, so there are 45 names there. Whatever happened to Caitlyn Jenner?
That one has been so interesting to watch. Remember, she came into this race with probably more name recognition than anyone else, even Gavin Newsom. I mean, she's nationally known. What I find is so ironic is she has, you know, used this as her sort of major line to get into the Olympics, to become an Olympic decathlon gold winner. I trained for years. I know how to do that. The fact, if she had done even a fraction of the kind of training needed to run for governor, the fact is she didn't. She didn't know basic questions about California governance. She just didn't seem to be prepared at all, and immediately put up 45 different items of merchandise on her website and a donate button, but that was pretty much it. She had no policy on her website at all. So she's ended up being less than a footnote. I don't know how you go from 4% in the polls to 1% in the polls, but she's no longer any kind of factor in this race.
And by the way, what test or what qualifications do people need to pass in order to have their name on the ballot?
This is one of the ironies or the weirdest aspects of the California recall process, because all you need is $4,000 or 7,000 signatures. I mean, $4,000, that's why we have 45 candidates. To get your name in front of 22 million voters in the voter registration guide is a pretty good marketing, and there's been calls for reform, and there will be after this election. I mean, there's been only four gubernatorial recalls in the history of the United States, and two of them have been in California in the last 20 years. That's because it's so easy. California has the lowest bar in the country to get a recall of the governor. It's not required that the governor have any kind of criminal activity or malfeasance. Anybody can. There have been six attempts to recall Governor Newsom from the minute he got into office, because all you need to do is collect 12% of the signatures of the last election, which is a really low bar. So there's going to be calls for reform on that. But yeah, $4,000, that's all it took. And, you've got candidates like on the Democratic side. The leading candidate on the Democratic side is a 29-year-old YouTube phenomenon named Kevin Pathrath, who's never run for office. He's got 2 million YouTube followers. And he's made, millions of dollars on YouTube giving real estate and financial advice. And he thinks he can be governor. And that's kind of where we're at these days.
And then you got John Cox, right?
John Cox was just basically killed by Gavin Newsom in the last election. Newsom won in 2018 with 2/3 of the vote. That was the biggest landslide since 1930 for a non-incumbent here in California. And John Cox was battered by Gavin Newsom, but he was back again this time with strange and crazy gimmicks, like bringing a 1,000-pound Kodiak bear with him on the trail, which I saw. It was terrifying, I have to tell you. At one point, he brought a 8-foot ball of trash along with him to talk about the homeless situation. It has been, people have described this recall as a circus, and that's in many ways, that fits.
Well, before you've mentioned Larry Elder a couple of times, and I do want to talk to you about him particularly, but before we leave the other candidates, I must say my favorite and the most colorful, I think, is Angeline. She did run in 2003 against Gray Davis, and she came in 29 out of 105, I think, right?
That's right. Yeah. And she's gotten a ton of publicity in
this
race.
She's famous for being famous, right?
I'm only sad that Mary Carey, the porn star, dropped out because she was lots of fun too when you talk about the kind of variety that we had among those 45 candidates. So yes, it's been a wild ride.
I have often quoted Angeline's slogan is, "We have had brown and gray, why not blonde and pink?" Right? Why not?
There you go. Why not? Yeah, really.
All right. It now has kind of devolved into Gavin Newsom versus Larry Elder for all the reasons you pointed out. Hey, right. Carla, hold on. Let's take a quick break here on the Bill Press Pod, and then we'll pick up with Larry Elder and Gavin Newsom on the other side. And today's podcast with Carla Marinucci brought to you by the American Federation of Teachers. The teachers of America, under the leadership of Randy Weingarten, more important than ever today as they work with parents and with kids to get schools back in business, if you will. Their job, protecting our kids, protecting themselves, and making sure that our kids back in the classroom are getting the best possible education. We know they'll do a great job of that. We salute them for their great work. We salute them for their support and thank them for their support of the Bill Press Pod. Check out their website at aft.org.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
And we're back. We're talking on the Bill Press Pod today with Carla Marinucci, who is the senior political writer, reporter in California for Politico, talking all about the California recall up just a week from today. And if it started out as Gavin Newsom selling this as it's me versus Democrats versus Republican Party, me versus Republican Party, it has become, Carla, me, Gavin Newsom versus Larry Elder. And here is Larry Elder's latest campaign ad.
Gavin Newsom's report card. Education, 41st in the nation. Gasoline, highest in the nation. Sales tax, highest in the nation. Income tax, highest in the nation. Homeless, highest in the nation. It's time for a change. Because returning Gavin Newsom to office again and again and expecting different results is the definition of insanity. Ad paid for by Elder for Governor 2021.
Okay. So what I find interesting on that is he never really says vote for me, Larry Elder, because, right?
That's right. No, that's right. Larry Elder, let's face it. I mean, he's a very talented communicator, and that's made him very popular among the Republican grassroots. In that commercial, you hear the talking points that Republicans have used all along to collect those 2.1 million signatures they needed to put this recall call on the ballot. The problem has been sort of Larry Elder himself and his own statements in these last 40 years on the radio. When you talk about, I mean, he has said things like women should tolerate crude language and behavior from men in the workplace. Sexual harassment doesn't exist. Racism, systemic racism doesn't exist. Some of his positions on issues, he doesn't believe in a minimum wage. Immediately rolling back mask and vaccine mandates is a big one that gets a lot of applause when he goes to the churches and the evangelical churches. But look, in California, as a whole, that does not work. I mean, this is the statement about replacing Feinstein with the Republican, which the other Republican candidates stayed away from that entirely. It just goes on and on, Bill, in the fact that he has done more to make Democrats aware of what a Republican governor could do, a conservative like himself. It's been interesting to note on Trump. Trump has stayed away from this. You know, Newsom from the beginning defined this kind of a Trump effort, a Republican recall effort. But Trump has stayed away from this recall. And Larry Elder has almost kind of put Trump at arm's length in the sense of saying, will not say whether he wanted his endorsement, said he was indifferent to the president's endorsement, former president's endorsement, did not want to talk about him. It's been interesting to watch the Trump factor here when it comes to Elder, but the bottom line is his own comments have just have created the problem he's got now. He is falling farther and farther behind Gavin Newsom.
Has the issue of abortion, especially after the Texas law signed last week, entered into the discussion? Because I'm sure Elder's on the Texas side of that one.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, Newsom last week used this exactly, fired up the calls for Democrats and basically said, look what's happening in Texas. Larry Elder has said, and in fact, an anti-abortion activist here in California went on Twitter and listed all the things that Larry Elder has promised that he would do, whether it came to appointing judges, vetoing pro-choice legislation, a number of different things. And so, yes, that Texas issue has fired up women big time here in California. And the specter of a Larry Elder, who is going around to evangelical churches this week, talking about being pro-life and talking about what he would do as governor, that has absolutely become an issue in this race as well.
So the New York Times yesterday reported a couple of, conspiracy theories already circulating in the social media about this recall. I'm sure you've seen those.
Yes, yes.
One is that there are holes in the envelope where you return your mail ballot, like the one I did. And those holes were specifically designed so that you'd peek in and see who voted yes on the recall and could destroy that ballot.
You know, and this theory has been promoted on Twitter by Richard Grenell, who was the former who was going to run, and of course was the former temporary or interim chief of intelligence for Trump. Mr. Grenell apparently didn't investigate the fact that these holes in the envelopes have been used forever, because they are a means of letting visually impaired people tell where to sign the ballot, where to sign the envelope on the outside. They are not designed to tell people how you voted. But already, I got to say, we are seeing the conspiracy theories and the suggestion that this election is already being stolen.
You know, that's of course, of course.
Exactly. So it goes back to the last presidential election, of course, but those same things are being suggested here. There was a situation in Torrance, California, where a guy was caught with a gun, meth, and a lot of drugs, and he had 300 ballots in his possession. The Republicans were suggesting maybe this is an effort to steal Republican ballots. The police were basically saying, this kind of looks like just a typical mail theft. I mean, ID theft kind of situation. This guy may have been out there. So they're still investigating it, but there's no evidence that somebody is trying to steal, you know, Republican or Democratic ballots or trying to throw this election. The bottom line is in California, you can go to the Secretary of State's website and check and see if your ballot has been counted. So California has a very good system. And I think these questions of, you know, stealing the election, I guarantee we're going to hear, are going to be minimized by the time this is over.
You know, at the very top of our conversation today, Carla, when you said there's one thing that's going to, more than anything else, decide the election, this recall, I thought you were going to say, you said COVID, and I understand why, I thought you were going to say turnout. turnout.
Turnout. That is the other issue. And I think this is one other area where Newsom can stop nail biting and just relax a little bit. These early returns show that Democrats are turning in their ballots by a more than 2-to-1 margin over Republicans.
These are mail ballots, right?
Mail ballots. This is an all-mail election. That's right. So we can see now that Democrats are turning in those ballots by 2-to-1. The suggestion is that Republicans, who used to turn in early, who used to vote early, now because of the distrust sown by President Trump, they're waiting until the very last minute. And they're going to the polls. They don't trust these mail ballots. So we could see more of a bump that could close. But as we said, with the 22-point registration advantage, closing that is just going to be a big lift. So,
and Democrats have really, as you indicated, have stepped up their efforts to get Democrats out to vote. They understand the importance of it. For example, I noticed that Elizabeth Warren was there this weekend, right?
That's right.
Any other big name Democrats coming in that you know of?
Well, we got Kamala Harris coming in on Wednesday to the San Francisco Bay Area. She was going to, and remember the massacre in Kabul occurred.
Right.
She was called to Washington, but she's coming back on Wednesday. We've seen Amy Klobuchar here, and Governor Newsom insists that President Joe Biden is still coming out. So we'll see if that happens. But the big guns are all involved on this on the Democratic side. They know that for Democrats to lose the blue state governor on the West Coast and the nation's most populous state would be a disastrous message to send going into the 2022 midterms and even 2024. So they have been involved, and the money is pouring into Gavin Newsom. He has more money than every other candidate combined in this race. So,
is there any comparable effort on the part of the National Republican Party? I guess
no. This has been the fascinating thing. The National Republicans have pretty much stayed out of this, money wise and every other way. The California Republican Party has been involved, obviously, but on a minimal way compared to how the Democrats have. And there's been no big names. We haven't seen Kevin McCarthy campaigning on this or any other major Republican coming out and helping their cause on this. I think they're just basically staying out of it. But the Democrats, yeah, they are in all the way. And we're going to see Kamala Harris in the Bay Area this week will be a big help to Gavin Newsom among the women's vote. That gender gap vote is going to be very important. African-American women, particularly, Gavin Newsom still has a little bit of a problem with Latinos and younger voters right now. And so those are some of the areas that Kamala Harris is going to be giving him a boost.
And by the way, as you pointed out, he's up for re-election anyway next year. So this is a pretty good dry run for next year, isn't it?
It is. I mean, look, it's a dry run that it's cost the California taxpayers $300 million, let's just say that. But yes, I mean, as we said, we're going to be watching what is the return here for Gavin Newsom? Is he just going to eke this out, in which case there may be blood in the water for next year? Or is this going to be a landslide, a double digit, as the polls are suggesting? In that case, any candidate who wants to try and run against him on the Republican side, including Kevin Faulkner, who's in on this recall, is going to look kind of like damaged goods. So that is going to be an interesting factor on Gavin Newsom's future, is how he comes out of this recall.
So finally, I want to swing back to something you talked about a little bit earlier, and that is the recall itself, right? The bar is so low in California, as you pointed out, Gavin Newsom could get 49.9% and lose, and Larry Elder, let's pick a name, right, could get 18% or 14% or whatever. If he's got more than anybody else on the bottom part of the ballot, he becomes a governor. I mean, this is fundamentally, I think, undemocratic. Is there any talk about recalling the recall?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's been suggested it's an unconstitutional process. But so what you're going to see already calls for legislation to require more signatures, for instance, to toughen the reasons for a recall, allowing, making sure that the incumbent must first commit criminal acts or malfeasance in office, and maybe to require a bipartisan distribution of signatures. In this recall, it was 64% of Republicans and only 9% of Democrats who signed those petitions. So it still made it on the ballot. Or maybe to mandate that the lieutenant governor takes over in the case of a recall, you know, or to have another runoff election afterwards. The fact is that Gavin Newsom constitutionally cannot be on this ballot among those 45 names. And people are saying that's unfair. People would want to vote for him a write-in. They cannot do so. So that those are some of the reforms we're hearing people talk about when they talk about what's next down the pike when it comes to California's recall. Because, as we said, two of them in the last 20 years, and these are multi-million dollar, you know, taxpayer bills that go out. I think people on both sides of the aisle are saying it's time for reform there.
Well, there's no election in the country that's getting more attention right now than the California recall up on September 14. And nobody's done a better job of covering than you have, Carla Marinucci. Thank you so much for bringing us up to date, and we'll be watching a week from today.
Bill, pleasure being with you. Thanks for having me.
And thank you. Thank you for joining us today on the Bill Press Pod. Great conversation with Carla Marinucci. Remember, we'll be back at the end of the week to check up on all the news of the week with our Reporters Roundtable. That's on Friday on the Bill Press Pod. Meanwhile, stay safe, stay sane, wear that mask. Come on, we're not over COVID yet. Got to be very, very careful. Take care of yourselves. Come back and see us on the next edition of the Bill Press Pod.